Would it be Thanksgiving without turkey? Would it be Thanksgiving without football? Definitely. Some of that's the wives who say that. Would it be Thanksgiving without parades? Would it be Thanksgiving? Can you have a Thanksgiving service without a band? Yes. Thanksgiving is over. Now we go on, and it's just a few weeks till Christmas. I say this every year. Seems like it was just Christmas. It seems like, why did I take the decorations down? In fact, this year, I'm just going to leave them up. Becoming a native New Mexican. But are you still thankful? You know, we tend to want Thanksgiving to be a certain time, and it gets here so quickly, and you're saying to yourself, well, last Sunday was Thanksgiving Sunday. We had the Thanksgiving sermon. We sang Thanksgiving songs last week. We had our list of Thanksgiving, but that's over. Let's move on. Are you still thankful? Wednesday night, some of us met for prayer for a Thanksgiving service, and we had this board up there just to thank God for what He has done. What has God done? And just these are just a few that were mentioned that night. Creation. He created us. He saved us. He loved us. He provided for us. He protected us. He's forgiven us. He gave us Jesus. He gave us family, friends, a house that is paid for. That wasn't me. That was someone else. A house of worship that is paid for here. A church. What is God now doing? Not what He has done, but what is He now doing? He's providing safety. He's loving. He's protecting. He's providing. He's forgiving. He's helping me grow in Christ. He's convicting our hearts. And you can move all of these because God is still doing those, correct? What will God do? You can move all of these over here, but long term, what has God promised to do? Has God been faithful to you? Has God provided for you? Doesn't that give grounds for trusting Him to provide in the future? Absolutely. Will God keep His promises? Jesus will return. Jesus will be revealed to all. He will raise us from the dead. We will go to a place there's no evil, no temptation. We're going to heaven. Are you still thankful? Or did you just cross it off your list? Done. Did that. I crossed football off after Thursday. For this year, who cares? You know, go Seahawks, anybody. I don't care. I know I'd wake some people up for that. But what if God provided blessings for you in the past and then said, done that, checked it off, we're done, no more blessings, and we complained, and we said, God, what happened? And He says, well, I'm doing Thanksgiving just like you do. I gave you something, you checked it off your list, I gave you something, we're done. But notice you can't say Thanksgiving without saying giving. You know, I want to challenge you today to get your Thanksgiving out of control. Not just in a box on a day or a season, but your Thanksgiving out of control to God. Giving God thanks with your actions, with your money, with your words, with your thoughts, with your gifts. Say, well, you're going to talk about money again today? You've talked enough about that the last few weeks. You're going to talk about giving? Enough. We're done. Either you get it or you don't. We know what we're supposed to do in response to God's blessing. We're not going to talk about that. We spent 3 weeks. We talked about the Old Testament, what it said about giving. We talked about the New Testament, what it says about giving. Last week, we talked about stuff and getting more stuff. No. Everything's from God, isn't it? Everything we have is from God. And so we continue in thanksgiving. And God is so generous. Is there anyone here in the house today that can say, God has not provided what I need? Now, I didn't say what you want, what you need. Has God provided? You got food, you got clothes, you got some place to live, or if you don't, we'll help you take care of that. You can move in with Mr. Ed. James 1, verse 17. every good and perfect gift is from above. God is good. And so we must respond. And all we can do, you say, well, am I paying God back? No, you can't pay God back. It's just a token of thanksgiving. Your life, your worship, your words, everything. But relax. Just take a big, don't relax too much. Keep your shoes on. Don't fall asleep. But just relax. Everyone just go, ah. I'm not going to talk about money today. I'm going to talk about something much more important than money. Thanksgiving. You know, Jesus said where your treasure is, your heart is. So I want to take you to two stories that we've studied over the last few weeks, but we're not going to talk about money today. We're going to talk about something deeper than money. I want you to look behind the plate. And if you look behind the plate, what do you see? I know some of you are saying the catcher. We're not talking about that kind of plate. Look beyond the offering plate and let us get our thanksgiving out of control. Have you ever been out of control? How did you act? We don't want to know everything. But how about a thanksgiving that is out of control, not just reduced to a week, but a life? Two stories. In one story, it is an amazing story. It is about rich people. Rich people who used to be poor people, but now are rich. And God wants to build a place of worship for these people. The other story is a story of people that are very poor, extreme poverty. And the story is about benevolence, some other people in need. Different reasons behind each story, but still the same purpose. And you say, well, what is the purpose? The purpose is this, the glory of God. Isn't that why we do everything? For the glory and honor of God. And in both stories, they're giving, but we're not going to talk about money, but I want you to see something behind their giving. Their giving was out of control. Wouldn't it be amazing if God's people got thanksgiving to God out of control? Wouldn't that be? I can tell you're so controlled this morning. Let me ask you again, and pretend you're out of control. Wouldn't it be fantastic if God's people, let's just narrow it down, God's people in this room at Valley got their thanksgiving to God, it became out of control. Boy, that sounds out of control. Not thanksgiving for a day or a season. Now, the first out of control story is when Moses comes down from the mountain, Mount Sinai. And in his hands are the Ten Commandments. And God tells Moses he wants to build a tabernacle, a tent, for the people to come and to worship God. Now remember, I said the first story is about rich people. And you say, well, wait a minute. The children of Israel, they had been slaves in Egypt for how long? 400 years. Slaves aren't rich. But I want you to notice something. Turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, verse 35. Remember what has happened. What has transpired? Moses goes to Pharaoh. Moses tells Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. They've been slaves for 400 years. Pharaoh says, well, sure, whatever. Is that what he says? No, he hardened his heart, The 10 plagues. What was the last of the 10 plagues? Death to the firstborn. Finally, Pharaoh says, get out of here. But notice something before they left. Exodus 12, verse 35. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. So when they left Egypt, they had a bunch of stuff. They were rich. Now they get to Mount Sinai. They come down from the mountain. God wants to build a tabernacle. Well, let's go back to the second story. The second story is about the Macedonian churches. Macedonia. Anybody ever been to Macedonia? Anybody ever heard of Macedonia? Macedonia is northern Greece. The Macedonian churches are extremely poor people. But they hear that the Christians back in Jerusalem, there's a famine. And the Christians in Jerusalem are more impoverished than they are themselves. And they hear from Paul the Apostle about these Christians in Jerusalem and their need. And so the poor Macedonian Christians take up an offering and they give because there's people in more need than they are. Story number one. Now let's read about it. Exodus chapter 25. It goes all the way from Exodus 25 through Exodus 36. We're not going to read all of it today. All right? But turn to Exodus 35, verse 4 and 5. Exodus 35, 4 and 5. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to share in the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze." And he lists all the things that he's asking for in the offering. But then go to verse 20. "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, the tabernacle." Verse 22. "All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought," and it lists what they brought. Verse 26, "And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair." We don't need any goat hair, by the way. Don't bring any. Verse 29, "All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought it to the Lord, free will offerings for all the work of the Lord, through Moses had commanded them to do." Go to verse 35. "He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue," and so on and so on. And then verse 34, "And he's given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others." Go to chapter 36, verse 2. "Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out in the work of constructing the sanctuary. And all the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning, not just on Sunday. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done.' Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: 'No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. Close down the offering.' And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do the work." Now, we didn't read all the whole story, but I want to pull some words out of that story. In fact, you might want to jot these down. Their hearts were moved. Their hearts were stirred. They were filled with skills that God had given to them. They were restrained from bringing any more. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the second story. "And now, brothers," verse 1, "we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, yet even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." Let me pick some words out of that story. Severe trial. Overflowing joy. Rich generosity. The privilege of sharing. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and they gave beyond their ability. What is it that prompted these people to have a thanksgiving to God that was out of control? And could we take some lessons from these two stories and apply it to us? Two yeses. The rest of you are free to go. Of course we can. You know, you say, well, these stories are about giving. Yes, but we're not talking about giving today. We're talking about something behind the plate. Something deeper. How about Thanksgiving that's not just reserved for last Thursday in November. Got that done. Let's move on. Now it's time for Christmas. But a Thanksgiving that's out of control. And I want to give you four lessons that we learned from these two stories. How many would like your Thanksgiving to God to be out of control? Again, let me ask you, show me out of control. That's controlled. Let's try Thanksgiving that is out of control. Lesson number one, Thanksgiving will be out of control when the people of God catch a bigger vision, bigger than ourselves, God's vision. And the leaders catch the same vision. You know, Moses had an idea given to him by God. Moses had the blueprints for the tabernacle. Here's what God says. Paul knew of the need in Jerusalem of the Christians, and he was personally going to deliver the support to those Christians. What for? Why build a tabernacle? Yes, obedience. But what was it really for? Why give to those Christians who had a need in Jerusalem? But we're poor ourselves. I mean, we don't have anything ourselves. And you're asking us to give to those Christians? Because they were thankful people. Why were they so thankful? Because they saw the big picture, the glory of God to meet needs. Will Rogers said, a vision without a plan is a hallucination. There's an old proverb, not in the Bible, but a vision without a plan is just a dream. And a plan without a vision is just drudgery. And a vision with a plan, but a vision with a plan can change the world. You know people that are just dreamers. Oh, I got a vision. I got a plan. I got to do this. Where do they get it from? TV? Indigestion? I don't know. But if you have a vision from God, I mean, isn't that much bigger than our dreams, our wants? Someone else said, you're getting what you're getting because you're doing what you're doing. Well, that is deep, isn't it? You're getting what you're getting because you're doing what you're doing. In other words, you're getting more of the same, and more of the same leads to what?
More of the same.
I mean, think how that works for us. For most of us, that's our Christian life.
Do the same old things. We go to church. We sing a few songs. We listen to the preacher. Now we go home. Doesn't affect our lives. You know, that's to a lot of people their definition of their Christian journey. Just more of the same. And the same old leads to what?
The same old. Think about it. In relation to your communication with your spouse. That's a tough one, isn't it? How to talk to the person you love the most. And we usually think they know what we mean when we say something. Well, you said this. No, I didn't say that. Well, yes, you did. Well, I did say that, but that's not what I meant. You ever played that game? More of the same leads to what? More of the same. Your finances, the way we spend our money, more of the same leads to more of the same. Our Christian growth, the same old, how about Thanksgiving? Did that, done that. In both of these stories that we read about, God challenged the people with something bigger than themselves. What do you mean? How are we going to build a tabernacle? Well, we're poor. How are we going to help those people in Jerusalem? More than anything that they could come up with and dream about. And yet, beyond all expectations, they met the need. I mean, think about it. What could you be if God got control of you? What could you be if God was number one in your life, really? What could your marriage be? What could your relationship with your parents be? What could your walk with Christ be? What could God be in your life if you looked beyond yourself for the glory of God? What could this church be if really we did everything for the glory of God? We'd be out of control, wouldn't we? Are you catching the idea? Give me some Thanksgiving out of control. We need to go on to lesson number two. Lesson number two, our thanksgiving to God will be out of control when God's people surrender themselves to the Lord. You see, that's why we have trouble getting our thanksgiving out of control, because who's our boss? I'm my boss, and nobody's telling me what to do. In fact, the preacher even asked me to say, thanksgiving to God out of control, and I don't want to do that. Thanksgiving will be out of control when God's people surrender themselves completely to the Lord. The Macedonians, remember that verse? 2 Corinthians 8:5, they gave themselves first to the Lord. And there was an outbreak of thanksgiving and generosity, and that will happen in our lives when we surrender. Notice I didn't say submit. What's the difference in submit and surrender? Submit means we just give up. Okay. I mean, we submit to authorities over us, don't we? The government? Our boss? Our husbands? Our wives? Our parents? We may not like them. We may not agree with them. We may not think they are right, but we are commanded in Scripture, submit to one another. Submit to every governing authority. Submit to your husband. We are told that in Scripture. And all the women said, out of control, amen. Children to parents, we are told to submit to one another. We may not like them, but we respectfully yield. They are the authority over us. But what about surrender? Surrender doesn't mean give in. It means give up. No objection. No resistance. No biting the lip. Okay, I'll do it. Surrender means no holding back our tongue. No reluctantly obeying. I mean, you do that with your spouse sometimes, don't you? Husbands and wives reluctantly obey. You give in to your parents, to your boss, to the government. But surrender means you give up, not just give in. Completely surrender our will, our opinion, our self-ambition. I surrender my personal agenda for God's agenda because I've caught that bigger vision for the glory of God. Surrender means I give up for what God wants. You know, when God's people finally surrender to God, not just give in, there will be out of control thanksgiving. So how are we doing so far? Lesson number one, for the glory of God, something much bigger than us. I mean, believe it or not, don't get upset. But God's agenda is more important than your agenda. Erupt in a Out of control, Because God's agenda is bigger than our agenda, I'm going to surrender to God. He's the boss. Because He's in charge, and I love Him for what that I don't want. Do you want you to be the boss? Oh my goodness, what a world that would be. Lesson number three. Thanksgiving will be out of control when we tune in to God's Spirit. Over and over we heard in that story the Israelites, the Spirit moved them. Their hearts were prompted. They were stirred. They were filled with the Spirit of God. You know, when we as God's people tune in our inner radio to the right frequency, I mean, think. Do they still make radios? Do they still make 8-tracks? Cassettes? CDs? When my parents moved here, we moved to unpack their truck, and Micah says, Grandma and Grandpa have these big black CDs. I'm out of touch. But do we still have radios? Yes. And if you get the radio just a little off, what do you get? Static. Have you tuned in your heart to God's frequency? Are you just getting static from the world? Static from TV? Static from the philosophy of the world? Have you really tuned in your inner radio to God, to God's Word? And when that happens, wow, out of control. Not the static of the world, but an eruption of thanksgiving. Too often, our thanksgiving, what do we look at? Food. I would say that most of our thanksgiving is pretty selfish. It's what God has done for me, and I deserve it. What God has done. Too often we think of thanksgiving and responding to God, we pull out our calculators. We pull out our calendars. We pull out our wants instead of what God wants. And maybe our hearts aren't stirred to thanksgiving. Maybe the Spirit of God doesn't move in us. Maybe our hearts are not prompted and stirred because we're listening to the wrong frequency. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, just a chapter over the second story, Paul says, each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As each man has decided where? In his heart. Now, we're not talking about money today. So how much has God stirred your heart to give thanksgiving? If you're really listening to the right frequency, how can you just go, I'm out of control? Let me hear a thanksgiving out of control. Listen to God's Spirit. You see, there in 2 Corinthians 9, each man should decide it in his heart. As God has stirred, as God has prompted. That's a procedure, isn't it? That's not a percentage. It's not the question, well, how much thanksgiving should I give to God? You know, people often ask about money, but we're not talking about money. But people say, well, what's the percentage I have to give to God? Behind that question is what's the least amount I can give to God and not get Him mad at me. It's not how much. Give me a percentage. But how's God bless me? How's He stirring my heart? I mean, how much of my time should I give to God? 10%? How much of my heart should I give to God? Okay, I'll bump it up 15%. How much of my life do I owe to God? Everything. How much thanksgiving? Okay, God, there's 24 hours in a day, so I'm going to give you 2 hours and 40 minutes of thanksgiving. That's 10%. It's everything. As my heart is stirred and I'm turning to the right frequency, when I'm tuned into the right frequency, how much thanksgiving can I give to God? Never can I give enough. Never can I give enough thanksgiving to God. And lesson 4, thanksgiving to God will be out of control when we experience the joy of giving thanksgiving. Have you found that joy in giving thanks to God? Or is it just a drudgery? Just check it off the list. Just a percentage. You know, in both stories, there's this eruption of extraordinary joy. It's out of control. It's overflowing joy. Israel was told, you guys cool it. You know, when was the last time you heard the preacher say, would you guys quit giving so much thanks to God? We've had enough. Never. When was the last time you told your children, please stop appreciating me so much? It's just more than I could bear. Of course not. You know, both stories are extraordinary. They were told to cool it. The Macedonians pleaded with the privilege. Can we give God more thanks? Come on, let us have some more Thanksgiving time. Never enough. Never enough. When do you stop thanking God? When has God done too much for you? Oh, yes. But when do you stop saying thanks? When do I quit thanking God? So we've learned four lessons. Get the big picture. Surrender. Don't just submit. Tune into the right frequency and experience the joy of thanksgiving. So express a little joy in thanksgiving. Give it out of control. Thank you, James. What about the rest of you? Let's just say praise the Lord as if you were out of control. One, two, three. That still sounds a little controlled, but that's okay. We're getting there. How can I increase my joy in giving thanks to God, in my worship to God, in doing church week after week? Well, just try that little exercise. Remember what God has done. And you could add a lot of stuff to that little list. What has God done for you? Can you think of a few things? What is God doing today, right now? Therefore, what will God do long term for you? When I think of that, how could I be controlled in my thanksgiving? I read a report just the other week. It asked Christians, what is the most boring thing about church? What gives you the least amount of joy? And you know what the answer was? The offering. Giving. Why is that? Because the offering plate is passed, we dump our stuff in there, and then we make no connection to the joy that that brings to other people. Think about it. We need to connect the dots that what our giving and what our giving thanks to God does. I mean, what did it do for you? Because other people gave thanks to God, how did it impact your life? You heard the gospel. Somebody gave thanks to God somehow, and you were the result of that. You came to be saved. You came to Christ. There's a church here. You are blessed with that. You and your family have a place to worship. Do you want that for your kids? Do you want that for your grandkids? Do you want that for others? Do you want that for our community? I mean, think what an impact, what joy that would bring to your heart if the worst criminal of the South Valley came to Christ. Wow. What joy that would bring. Do you want that for your community? Do you want that for your enemies? Of course we do. If your worst enemy came to Christ, they wouldn't be your enemy anymore. Don't we want that for our world? God loves a cheerful what? Cheerful giver. And of course, we could apply that to money, but we're not talking about money today. Does God want a cheerful thanksgiver? Oh, well, I just did it on Thursday. I'm done. Check it off my list. Or wow. what God has done for me. And may God use my life of thanksgiving to make the same impact on other people. Connect the dots. When we erupt with thanksgiving, stirred by the heart, in our hearts by the Spirit of God, think what joy. Make the connection between what your thanksgiving and the result of it. Look behind the plate. If other people gave thanks to God, and you were the result of that, don't you think it makes sense to do that for others? Erupt in a hearty, I mean, think about it. Is really giving thanks to God just a drudgery, a boring part of our lives? What if Valley Christian Church wasn't here? Would that make a difference in a lot of people's lives? A few. But you know, in a lot of people's lives, it wouldn't matter. Oh, well, I don't have a place to do funerals and weddings anymore. I guess I'll have to find another place. This church isn't here. I'll just go find another place. Or have we connected the dots with what God is doing here in our lives? And has it erupted in a hearty thanksgiving to God? Do I take for granted what God has done and is doing and will do? You know, often we don't miss something until we miss it. That's deep, isn't it? We take for granted that the band's going to be here. They're always here. And then we come in and they're out of town or sick and, oh, no band. And now we miss it. If the church wasn't here next week, how many would miss it? Or would we just say, oh, well, there's another one down the road. Connect the dots to giving thanks to God and what God is doing. If and when God's people really get the big picture for the glory of God and first give themselves to the Lord in total surrender and then tune in to God. What does God want? And we experience the joy of thanksgiving. You better watch out, because your thanksgiving will get out of control. Father, forgive us for being so controlled in our thanks to you. I mean, we all express it differently. Of course we do. And we're not talking about being ridiculous and having a pep rally. But how could we not give generously words of thanksgiving? How could we not give generously our time, our money that came from your hands in thanksgiving to you? May we make a difference in our community, and would you make a difference in me, in our lives, that our thanksgiving would be because you've stirred our hearts. You've prompted our hearts. We're doing it for the glory of God, of what you have done, and everything we do is for your glory. We have experienced the joy of other people giving thanks to you, and we're the result of that. And may we continue to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.